Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a story today about a client named Iris. Now, again, made up names for confidentiality reasons. And she starts her session by saying that she wants to know about a soul contract. And she asks specifically for the soul contract between her and her sister. And I'm just going to make up the name of her sister and I'm going to call her Rose. And yes, I did pick two flowers. So I get to see the beginning back into their childhood as to how the parents raised the two girls. And I see that Iris is older than Rose, and I offer that as the first validation. And she goes, yeah, that's correct. I am older. And I said, there's no other siblings. And she goes, that's correct. I said, and there is a mom and a dad in the home, and your mom and dad are still alive. And she goes, yeah, that's all correct. That's good. And the spirit guides start explaining to me that very, very young, like I'm talking like a year old, 2 years old, Rose very much looks up to Iris and she wants to be like Iris. So she wants to wear what she's wearing. And very much the parents give in to this and think it's very cute. They think it's sweet. So they'll dress her the same as her older sister. And then I start to see where Rose has some temper tantrums. And I said to Iris, Rose develops temper tantrums to get her way because she wants to be like you. So if she's not in the same outfit or if you changed your outfit, she'll want to change hers too. And she goes, yep. She goes, I can recall that as a child. She said, I can remember being at, you know, an event, like a sporting event where she's got to go into a change room and change. And then she comes out and Rose sees her, and now she wants to wear what she's wearing. And eventually the parents buy a little bit of a replica outfit of what the team is wearing so that they have it in the bag so they can change her into it. So she still looks like her sister. So I said, your parents do a lot to oblige this. And I said, I'm going to say oblige at the beginning because it's for some minor things. And she says, yeah. And I said, but it becomes an issue where it's not just obliging anymore that it's kind of easy or cute to do. It becomes that it's problematic that if Rose doesn't get her way, that the temper tantrums disturb everything. So now they bring it out of fear because they don't feel that they know how to stop the temper tantrums or how to control Rose. So this escalates out of control while Rose is still quite young. And Iris says to me, I feel like that. She said, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I feel like that's true. And she says, and I have some examples of it. And she says, you are pointing out one about me being in sports and my parents dressing her in the same outfit as what I wore on a team. That's true. She says, I have pictures of stuff like that. And the team thought it was cute. Right? Because there's the little sister dressed up like them. And then she says, could you go on about that? And I said, yeah. So then the guides show this progress where it isn't just to be cute or to keep the peace in minor things. It becomes that not only does Rose want to emulate an older sister because she admires her, but eventually it's because she's jealous of her. And that over time, it goes from the, I look up to my sister, and isn't this cute, to, no, I'm actually jealous of her, and I want what she's got. So it goes to that. It goes to what she's got. And I said that, and Iris goes, mm-hmm. So she validates again. And I said, oh, wait a minute. It goes even further. And she goes, continue. And I said, she doesn't just end up wanting what you've got or being as good as you. Eventually it gets to, I need to be better than Iris. And at a young age, this is problematic because she can't. She just can't do it. She just doesn't have the capability through brain development and through physicality, right? She just can't. She can't keep up. So there's temper tantrums about that. And the parents coach Iris to scale it down.
Okay. We're going to pause here for anyone who's listening to this, resonating with it, resonating with the childhood or the parenting. This is normal child development, just so everyone's aware what Iris and Rose are going through. Rose, in particular, is the youngest. Looking up to and wanting to keep up with an older sibling is normal child development. This is a parenting problem. Now, we're also going to find out what the contract is and what they're meant to learn and teach each other, so we'll get into that. But this is majorly a parenting problem where she's not getting the tools to be encouraged to be her own person. So where it starts minor and cute, they're missing the bigger message to give to her about becoming your own person. So where she hits these normal childhood development milestones of, well, I like that, I admire that, I want a little bit of that for myself, there's supposed to be healthy parenting and coaching to move her along in life toward her own person.
And this does not happen by a long shot because the parents just want to people please Rose to keep the peace.
Okay, I will also say too that the temper tantrums are also childhood normality in the sense that when a kid doesn't have resources at their disposal to get their needs met, a temper tantrum is one of the ways to do it. So it's physical intimidation, it's loudness, it's all kinds of things where the dysregulation pulls in those around them to meet their needs, right? And if parents aren't okay with their own uncomfortable feelings, they're going to facilitate Rose's demands, facilitate Rose's desires to soothe themselves. And it sounds really interesting in that parents want to just like make sure the child is okay. No, they don't. They can't cope with their own discomfort. So I'm going to give you what you want so I can soothe my own dysregulation, which is in a nutshell what people pleasing is.
Perfectly done. So the guides explain to Iris really what's happening here in how what you said, that Rose's needs to see her own individuality are not developed. And that Rose has no identity of her own. But this goes right into adult life. It goes into the example that Iris marries a man in the trades and Rose marries a man in the trades. Iris has a house built for her with her husband, by her husband and their crew. Rose wants the identical house. But more, bigger rooms. She has to have better than Iris. And Iris asks the guides eventually in the session how to cope with this at this point. Because what ends up happening is that Rose has an affair with Iris's husband. Because she wants what Iris has to that point. And Iris's pain is not just the affair. The Iris's pain goes to the
she can't have her own identity.
Yes.
She can't be her own person. Anything that's that right. is hers becomes Rose's. And then here's the other thing is you try to exercise your free will, you try to exercise your my own decision making and executive functioning. But when you have this much of Rose's energy coming at you, Iris may do things out of defiance where she's actually being controlled by the whole dysfunction of Rose. And I want to explain this in the sense that we might think we're exercising our own free will, but because we are in defiance, that is being controlled by something else. You're just trying to break free, prove a point, do your own thing, but it's not necessarily authentically you. That's difficult.
Exactly.
And I do want to acknowledge, because I did have a reaction to the affair, which is one thing, Rose's pain too, and not to discredit because the focus is supposed to be on Iris here. Rose is in a shit ton of pain, having never been given the tools to develop mentally or emotionally in a healthy way. Both sisters are in enormous emotional pain.
Yes, very much.
And mental, I would imagine.
Yeah. And one of the things that the guides point out to Iris in the session too are the core wounds. and how she feels rejected by her parents, abandoned. And they go through and talk about different core wounds with her so that she's actually able to go to therapy, because this is one of the things that gets brought up, is how much therapy could help Iris understand these core wounds. That was one of the issues, so that she can see where it originates from, so that she's actually able to say this originates with mom and dad's behavior, not Rose. Mm-hmm. Because currently she's really angry with Rose.
Totally.
And she's still going to mom and dad, but mom and she's frustrated because mom and dad are always trying to smooth it over for Rose. So Iris, just stay with your husband. This will wash out, but we still need to make Rose be happy. And Iris is like, no. But the parents still want all of the control over both girls to keep the peace. So they want to somehow have Iris cope with and stay in the marriage where her husband is having an affair with her own sister.
This is husband. Oh, gotcha. Sorry. Yes. Sorry,
right?
My brain went backwards there.
Yeah. And so they're still trying to manage it. Like, don't break up the family. Like, we don't need to acknowledge what your needs are, what your feelings.
Don't break up the family. Just keep it in the family. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
The wrong people. Nope. I'm going to reword that. The people who need therapy rarely seek therapy. Oh, my God. This is a shit show. Is Iris okay?
No.
Okay. Does she get okay in the session?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say, because the guides are able to actually point out to her what she needs to do in therapy. Mm-hmm. So they give her an actual clarity about what's going on. So first of all, they sit there and say, mom and dad have their own issues and they're never going to change. And they're always going to see that you just have to be able to do whatever's necessary to keep Rose happy, no matter what it is and no matter what it costs you in your own life. So this is going to be an individuation process from you, or for you, from your own parents.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do an analogy here. You don't go to drink from a dry well. Meaning her parents are not going to be able to give her what she needs.
Yeah.
Stop going to them to get your needs met.
She gets told that by the word individuation from them.
And I'm using the analogy because I think individuation is a very new word for a lot of people, right? Unless you've studied psychology or you've gone to therapy, that's not a common word in our language, right, when we're talking with people. Sometimes different words come into popularity, like narcissism. You don't have to have a psychology degree to understand what that is, because it's all over social media. Individuation isn't one of those words.
Okay.
It hasn't become a buzzword. So when people hear it, they're like, say what now? Right? They don't know what that process looks like. They don't even know what it means. So to talk about the fact that in this situation, your needs cannot be met here. Stop going there and asking for them to be met paints a more specific picture of what needs to stop happening, right? Or where you need to direct your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the guides tell Iris that she can no longer go to her parents for advice, for support, and they name all the things that she cannot get from her parents. And in that moment, in the session, I thought that Iris might have a cry and might feel the grief, but she didn't. It wasn't expressed in the session. She just sat and looked at me and went, that's a relief. And I went, okay. She goes, I like that. It's giving me permission to break a pattern that I've done my whole life. And she says, and now that you say it, I can see that going there just keeps me in the trap. My parents keep me in the trap because I go to them. If I just didn't even go, I wouldn't feel like I was in the same trap. And she says, and I wouldn't be treated the same way. Therefore, I won't feel the same feelings. And I said, exactly. So if every time you wanted to go to your parents, you go to therapy, or you put it on paper until your session, and then you get into your session and you talk through and you go through your list on your page of the things you would have brought to your parents, a therapist is going to be able to sit there and tell you healthy responses to that. And you're going to see that is not what your parents are offering you. They're just offering ways to control you to keep Rose happy. That's the toxicity of the family. And she said, okay. And I don't know what toxicity means. And so there was a conversation around unhealthiness, mm-hmm. what toxicity means, basically unhealthiness, whether it's thoughts, behaviors, patterns, all of the things. So Iris says to me, okay, this is something I can do. This is something that I can afford to do. She says, I can go to therapy. I can write things down that I would normally go to my parents to talk about. And I said, the guides are also saying that you can no longer go to your husband to talk about them. He's having an affair with her. It's still going on. And she just says to me, thank you for confirming that he has lied. He has told me more than once that he has stopped the affair with her. But there's a pattern of repetition. And she says, so you're just telling me that's not going to stop. And I said, that's correct, because you don't hold him to any standard. Well, not just because you don't hold him to a standard. He just doesn't love you. And she just sat there and went,
yeah.
That's the question she's been asking, though, Kelly.
I appreciate that you flipped that language, because I think, well, I don't think, women get blamed, right? Well, he's doing it because you're not holding a standard. It's not your fucking fault. He doesn't respect you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't love you. He's making a choice based on himself. And this is no longer, his actions are not your responsibility. What you do with the information of his actions is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Those are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. So the guides support her in healthy thinking, healthy decisions. And they sit flat out with her because she asks for it in the session. This is not where they just get preachy with her. She's asking specifically. The guides say to her that she cannot go to her husband because of his choices and behaviors and what he thinks and how much he's part of that toxicity. And that if she's trying to get healthy, you don't go to someone who's toxic looking for healthy answers.
Also, when you're in a unit, a family unit, or a work unit, for example, that is unhealthy, that unit is going to cater to the most dysfunctional person in the unit. So yep. When you're like, I'll just, you know, go talk to them and help them understand. No, they're not interested in that.
That's right.
They are going to cater around or to, however you want to word this, the most dysfunctional person in that family. In this case, Rose. Arguably the parents, I would say, but she's got the biggest, loudest voice. So we're going to make that happen.
That's right. And the guys explain that the parents gave control to Rose as a child to be the most toxic person and the most controlling in the family. They made that decision when Rose was 2-3 years old. And they have stuck by that for decades, many decades. Iris is not in her 20s. She's in her 40s. Mm. So this has been going on for a very long time. And the guides explain that both mom and dad have made no attempt to get healthy ever. And Iris agrees. They have not. They have not sought therapy. They do not look to read self-help books or listen to podcasts. You know, if something just showed up on your feed, they'd flip right past it if it was something about being healthy. They're going to go to the funny videos or the news videos or whatever they want, right? So it's confirmed that mom and dad are not going to ever do it. And they flat out tell her that there's no reason for Rose to ever want to. She's getting everything she thinks she wants, in spite of the fact that Rose is extremely unhappy all of the time. Mm-hmm. And that keeping up that I'm unhappy, everybody has to do something for me to help me be happy, is just a constant daily, hourly, minute by minute cycle. And they say to Iris, we're offering you the opportunity to step outside of that. But it really means stepping right outside of your whole family unit, because the whole unit is unhealthy, which is what you were explaining. The whole unit is. And they explained to her there's no chance that the whole unit is going to change. They have no desire to, including her husband. So at getting through the session, Iris starts to get some information about how do I figure out who I am and what I need, because she asks the question in the session, am I on the right life path? Am I being healthy? Am I going to be proud of myself when I cross over? Are my guides proud of me? And the guides are like, they come in and say, yeah, we're extremely proud of you for just sitting here and just beginning to ask the questions and recognizing your own feelings and that you aren't happy. Do you know what a big deal it is for you after 4.5 or 4-ish decades to be able to actually question whether you are happy in this situation? That is changing the pattern right there. So do we celebrate you and tell you you've begun to be on that path? Oh, yes. Are you willing to look at the fact that the family is toxic and that they can't change? We're proud of you for that, because even weeks or months ago, you wouldn't even have considered it. So they point out to her very big things that Iris is just kind of going through, but because there's so much, she doesn't see them as big things. She doesn't realize what a monumental thing it is for her own growth and her own soul's contract to be able to even question it or see it, period. So there's time taken there to say to her, how do you want to celebrate that? What do you want to do? And she's like, what? What do you mean? What do I want to do? Shouldn't I be asking if I should stay or if I should leave? Shouldn't I be asking? And the guys are like, no, let's just celebrate first what you've done. Because that's giving you some energy. That's giving you validations. You're starting to individuate from the group, separate. You're starting to think for yourself. You're starting to check in with your own emotions. You're starting to say that they have value, that I am worthy of feeling healthy feelings for myself, and that the rest of the family is not my responsibility. And I said, so it's important for us to do that first together. And she says, well, do you think I could do it with you? And I said, I'd love to do it with you. So I'm sitting in my chair, Kelly, just doing my happy dance, just from the waist up in my chair. And she goes, oh, I see what you're doing. You just sit in your chair and you just dance. Like, you just literally move your shoulders and like move. And I said, yeah. And sometimes I sit and I fist bump and I just figure out what I can do just sitting. And she goes, I like that, because it's not a big deal, but she says, I think I'm understanding what you're doing. You're just trying to validate what you're doing. And you, by moving the body and the energy, you're changing the energy. And I said, exactly why I'm moving my body. Exactly why I choose the happy dance, because it does move the body. Kelly, she asks such good questions in the session. And I found that she stayed so present to what she was feeling. So she sits across from me in the chair and she starts to move. And she goes, okay. She goes, can you explain the somatic exercises, the polyvagal breathing that you're talking about, or exercises? I don't know what those are. And I said, well, you can go onto YouTube and look them up, and there's books on them. But I said, YouTube is going to give it to you all for free to get you started at the very least. And I said, and then if you really enjoy it, buy Deb Dana's book on polyvagal exercises. She's written two books. One of them has got 66 exercises in it, and it's going to teach you how to help soothe your autonomic nervous system and the vagal nerve. I pronounced that right? Vagus nerve. And then I explain a little bit, because she asks about the vagus nerve. And I don't know much about it, but I know just enough to say how big it is and where it's located and how it goes right down into the pelvic floor and how it's connected all the way through the central nervous system. So I know a little bit, and just explain that to her and what that does in the body, so that she can then go, oh, this explains why I'm clenching. This explains why my shoulders are seizing and I'm sore in my neck. And it helps her identify, when I just say what the nerve is and where it extends, that she's able to go, that explains my upset stomach. And she can put the pieces together that when you're in a toxic family system, your vagus nerve can never feel safe. So it's always in a sense of alarm. And as a result, the body responds, because all of the nerve endings are going all over your body. So as that's described to her, she's relieved, because it's like, okay, now I understand me. And if I go do some of these exercises, I can lessen or perhaps get rid of some of the things I'm experiencing. And I said, yes. And then she goes, oh my God, if those symptoms disappeared or got less, I'd have more energy to take care of myself. If I could take care of myself and I didn't feel all of those symptoms, I would make healthier decisions for myself because I wouldn't be relying on these people to help me. Mm-hmm. She goes, the guys are giving me the answers. She says, at the core level of something, because the very next thing on my page was the list of all of my symptoms. And I was going to ask you for a medical intuitive reading because I have all these problems and the doctors can't find anything wrong with me. And she says, wait a minute. And now what I'm understanding is that the guides came in to say, well, we'll answer the question and we'll tell you that it's all about the vagus nerve and all the symptoms relate back to it. And I said, that's exactly what they did. She goes, they're taking care of me.
Always.
Isn't that a fun moment in a session mm-hmm. where you get to see that, Kelly, where the person puts together why they're there and really what's going on before the session, like in the spirit world on the other side, that they've got that for us. Mm-hmm. And then they're showing up just to give it to you or I to be able to share it with them. And that, yeah, you've got this notepad and you've got this life happening where you think things are scattered or you don't know how to piece it together. You don't see how the toxic family has affected your vagus nerve and your nervous system. And then all these physical effects are occurring that then trigger your belief in your need that you need that family because of all the shit that you're feeling. So you feel stuck in the cycle. Mm-hmm. You feel that's the definition of feeling trapped. And the guides come in to go, we know why you're feeling trapped and we know exactly how to get you out of it.
I think that's one of the reasons people come to sessions, whether it's a conscious one or not, is to not feel alone or to understand that they are not alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons that I've always really hated the idea of praying, is that so much of prayer is taught, at least in certain religions I've studied, that you're supposed to ask over and over again for what you want,
yeah.
which just makes you feel more alone.
Exactly. Because
if it's not happening on your timeline, if it's not happening the way you ask for it, then what am I doing wrong? And is there anything really out there? And when you listen to how you listen to the guides just being channeled, they know everything about your life. They know what you're going through. They know what decisions you're making. They know what you're tripped up on. They know what you need and what you want. And you're loved the entire time. Mm-hmm. You don't get to just ask for what you want. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is all about. Mm-hmm. We're here to experience certain things, and mm-hmm. you're never alone in those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Even when you don't get what you want right. or what you think you want at the right. time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so after we get through that piece of it together, you can see in Iris that she's changing sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
You can see.
It's rewiring.
Yeah. You can see in her that it's like, oh my God. And she actually says to me, I follow you and Kelly. I know bloody well that it's on your website that you offer clarity, direction, mm-hmm. right? And she lists the things that we say, this is why you come to us for this service, mm-hmm. for us to be able to use these abilities to share them with you.
Yeah.
And she sits there and she goes, oh my God, this is the clarity. This is the clarity you guys are talking about on the website that you say you're trying to give people. She says, my whole head feels funny. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, that's probably
fog lifting.
Yes.
It's relief, yeah. clarity, and direction for anyone who was wondering, because threes are always better. And I'll say this is true of channeling and it's true of coaching, right? So you come, you listen to the guides in a channeling session, or if you're at our live events, and the clarity and understanding essentially of what the situation is provides you with some relief. Okay, I'm not confused anymore.
Exactly.
And then there's often direction. What's going to be in my healthiest interest? That's what direction is about, is healthy next steps. That gets channeled. You get to do whatever you want with that. Coaching comes into play when you don't know how to answer the question, how?
Yeah.
Right? You can come for clarity, you can come for direction, and you're definitely going to feel relief. It's going to be hard work. I don't think anyone's... Mm-hmm. unaware of that at this point. But when you don't know how to answer the question how, so when Iris says, okay, maybe, you know, I'm now at a place where it's obvious I need to leave, What do I do with those next steps? How do I take that? How do I take care of myself? How do I think differently? What questions do I ask myself? Coaching answers the question, how?
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have to spin your wheels, get exhausted and scared because you don't know how to answer the question, how? That's the hand-holding that occurs.
Yeah, the hand-holding and the breakdown of a process, because Iris has never been given that. Yeah. She's and that was discussed next, was that she was never, her and Rose were never given processes from their parents as to how to understand or know themselves. And so she just sits and looks at me and goes, oh my God, I feel like I need a whole other hour with you just to figure that out. And I said, no, you don't necessarily need another hour with me for that. You need, and that's where it came in, you need the resources, you need the people. And I'm not those people. That's not my job. My job ends at the channeling part, which is what you're saying.
Then the direction is to the resources.
That's exactly right. And I said, no, my job is getting done with you. You need to go on to other people that have the right skill set. That's not my skill set. You need them to be able to break it down and give it to you in a process and hold you accountable so that you don't stay in those relationships a day or a second longer than you need to for your own integrity. Mm-hmm. And when I said that, she went like this to me. Mm-hmm. She goes, oh my God, my head just blew up. She goes, and that felt wildly good. Mm-hmm. She goes, oh man. She goes, I feel like shackles are coming off of my head. And she says, just in the sense of what I've been conditioned to believe. And I said, yeah, you have been very highly groomed by your parents to not live your own life and not to even be engaged with your own thinking or know your own identity, because it had to be that whatever it was, you had to give it to Rose. And I said, but in that, Rose doesn't know hers either. So in what your parents did, they robbed both of you of the processes and the tools to actually have self-discovery, to know yourselves. And she says, well, then it makes no sense to me that I could ever love Rose. And I said, that's right, you can't. And she goes, well, now that makes sense to me as to why she could have an affair with my husband. She does not love me. And I went, exactly, she does not know how. And she goes, oh, this is important.
Yeah.
She says, this is important to me, because I'm just so hurt that my sister would have an affair with my husband. She goes, but this helps me understand how she could do it.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about this type of clarity or level of clarity, however you want to word it, it can dissipate just enough anger where you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yes.
Now, hopefully enough anger remains, because that's an action emotion, and yeah, that moves you, right? It's going to move you to do something different about your situation.
Yes.
Whether it's to take care of yourself, leave, which I would argue are the same thing, whatever. We need enough of it to get moving, but it dissipates just enough of it so that we can soften to see humanity.
Yes.
Right? And not, as society says, hold those grudges.
Mm-hmm.
We can hold a boundary.
Yes.
But we don't get exhausted by a grudge.
Oh, good Lord. So thank you. This little conversation happens quickly with her about the fact, and actually Iris really participates in it and says, I don't feel as angry with my sister. Yeah. I feel sad about Rose. And she says, and I feel sad about me. Mm-hmm. And she says, so I can see that I can't stay in that relationship with her or my husband or my parents. I can't be there anymore. She says, I can see that. And she says, but I can move away from it, setting the boundary, because it's good for me. But I don't feel quite as angry with Rose, because I understand that she was never given her own identity, and that she was never taught how to even love her own self. So she's not even loving my husband. And I said, no, that's right. And she goes, well, that makes sense about my husband and what I know about him too.
Her vagus nerve is fucked as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I want to say too, like, the realization where she shifts from, I'm less angry and I'm more sad for my sister. This isn't the same thing as pity, right? Because pity indicates I feel better than, and you are less than.
Right.
And this isn't what Iris is talking about. And I think a lot of people, when you have a fear of being vulnerable, when someone says, my heart breaks for you, or I feel sad for you, immediately it's like, don't pity me. I don't want your pity. And it's like, that's not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This is me being able to understand and acknowledge, that I understand your pain. This doesn't make me better than you just because I'm not in it. It connects us in terms of humanity. Again, there can be a boundary. We don't need to have a relationship. But I can understand that you're in pain. And I can understand why this painful thing happened.
This leaves Iris at the end of her session in a healthier place than when we started. And in a place where she says to me, I feel ready to walk from my family, but I can't do it without the therapy room, without the coach. Mm-hmm. I need some support so I can see that I'll never leave unless I have my other people.
Your team.
Yeah. And I said, that's perfect. And I said, and she goes, really? And I said, yes. So go get your team. Mm-hmm. I said, go make your appointments. Pick your team and then be able to have that support to do the steps that are necessary for the healthier version of yourself. Mm-hmm. The one where you actually get to know yourself. And then from that place, pick a partner if you choose to. Mm-hmm. You may even choose not to at that point. But you'll decide then when you know yourself, when you truly know who you are. Mm-hmm. Currently, you don't know because you haven't, you're not in that place of being healthy. And that's where you pick the current partner. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, ouch. She goes, that makes sense why I want to leave him too. Not just because of the affair, but because of what you said about I'm going to change. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to my change. And I can see that he's not part of it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. We got to a good place.
Oh, we did. And you all the way through the session, Kelly, as hard as it was, she had this ability to be able to be present enough to look for it every time, even when it was difficult.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.